Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories. It's all right here for you with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Remember to visit us online, too, at besteveryou.com. And now here's your host, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You Show. Today is a show about being your best and keeping it real. We have got one of my favorite all-time people in this planet, world, whatever you want to call it. Just, oh my gosh, I love her. When I very first started Best Ever You a long time ago, we crossed paths, and she's been with me ever since, helping me make decisions, guiding me, putting all of her friends on the website, anything Brianna Brown could ever do to help, she's there. And I think that's how she is in life in general. Because when I announced that I was having her on the show today, my Twitter feed flooded with ask her this and ask her this and ask her this. So we could have Brianna on for the whole day and ask her all these questions, but she's going to be here for 30 minutes. So Brianna, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Thank you. Do you like Brianna or Brianna? I always say Brianna.
It's Brianna. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's the Midwest. You know, you never know whether you're saying somebody's name perfectly right and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So I always call her Brianna in my own head. And, you know,
yeah.
Boy, what a treat to have you on. And we're going to talk about your book right off the bat. And I want to give everybody a couple of websites, because a lot of people listen to our show and they're fiddling around on their computer as they're listening. So Brianna's website is Brianna-Brown, BROWN.com. And then she also has another website called thenewhollywood.org, spelled just like that, thenewhollywood.org. And so both of those websites are all, gosh, there's so much information and growing on these both of these websites. But one thing that we've added to Brianna's personal website is this button called shop. And I'm wondering what we're going to shop for over the years to come. But for right now, it's got this book on it called Manifesting Your Mission. And this is a, tell me about this book. This is awesome. So excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a guidebook that has been that I co-wrote with children's author Beth Navarro, who's also a member of The New Hollywood, which is an organization I founded in 2006. It's a not-for-profit, and we're dedicated to supporting socially conscious storytellers and change makers. And we do that through a bunch of different initiatives that we have, whether it be our microgrant program or our fiscal sponsorship program. We have a mentorship day. We have a kindness in action. We have our Get My Body Back, which is a health and wellness challenge. And some of these things are for members and some are for non-members or for our online community. And we're all about adding value and leading by example. And I'm a big believer that the way to lead by example is obviously you got to live it to be it. You know, regurgitated information's great and can be helpful, but I think what's most impactful is when someone is able to really be and also can speak from experience as to how they've created or achieved whatever it is that they're wanting to manifest. And so we have used different tools within the organization over the past 12 years to help with goal setting and accountability, because the foundation of it is goal setting and accountability. And then obviously there's the give back aspect. Like our motto is rise higher, shine brighter, give back. So over the years we've tried different tools, and I've taken from some of the things that I've loved and augmented, or, come up with myself, systems that I've seen that have worked. And so for the past 5 or 7 years, we've been internally beta testing it. We've been using it for just members. And, every year we've printed out a different guidebook with and tweaked and polished the systems. And this year we decided, let's just do a soft launch and put it out there and see what people, non-members, think and how they like it. I said, I feel like it's time, it's ready. We have you know, we've been around, like I said, for over a decade. We've really refined the tools, and I'm really big about keeping things simple. And because I feel that most people don't create what they really want because it's just too overwhelming to start, or they hit a roadblock and then they stop. And the roadblocks are the fun learning part if you can get through the fire of it. So so this tool, and again, we create different ones each year. I mean, we polish and refine and polish and refine. Helps just keep what your real intentions are, what your real values are, in alignment with your actions. And so it's a simple goal system that just helps people stay focused on what they really want, what they say they want, versus our endless to-do lists, versus getting caught up in all the nonsense. And, you know, and I find that it's usually the nonsense that distracts us. And then months later, we're like, oh, yeah, I didn't accomplish that thing. Ah, yeah, New Year's resolutions never work. Ah, goals don't work. Oh, it's because of this and this. And I've just realized that the real big difference between those who are victims and victorious are when we are consistently taking time to evaluate what's working, what's not, why, how do I take responsibility? So, and my big why of why I wanted to put this out there beyond just members, you know, because it's vulnerable to be like, I'm going to put this out there and this is a thing and we've been doing it. but my bigger why as to why I wanted to do that is because I believe now, well, I believe just in general that we all have incredible gifts to add value to the world. We all have incredible passions and things that are either we're really, you know, moving forward with or that are untapped. And there are so many amazing teachers and so many amazing methods. And I think that different things speak to different people or have spoken to me at different times in my life. This is what's worked for me. I've had people say, what's your secret sauce? And I'm like, well, here it is. and my whole point of doing this is because I think that, like Julia Cameron speaks about in The Artist's Way, that if everyone fulfilled their passion and their purpose, and that doesn't mean that it has to be some big, grandiose thing. It could be something very simple, or it could be very simple actions. Our world would work more in harmony. So if I can shed a little bit of light of what's working for me, and that inspires someone else to try something new or open their eyes to something or just be consistent in what they already know is right for them, then I feel like I'm really, that's a big part of my purpose and my give back.
When I first came across you many moons ago, I found you, and I still find you, refreshing and relatable. I'm a lot older than you, and a lot of the people that are in the New Hollywood and so forth, you know, being almost 50 here. And I've known you for a good long time now. And I just still find you to be just one of the most refreshing and relatable people out there. And can you explain that? I don't know. Explain why I feel that way about you, Brianna. Go. There's no arrogance to you. There's no, like, look at me, I'm a famous actress, you know, kind of thing. And you're just you, and I love it. Have you always just been that way? Must be what people just, well, people must tell you that a lot, I'm guessing.
Maybe they think it. I don't hear it all the time, but I really appreciate you sharing that. I think the reason that I became a performer and an artist is because at heart I'm an activist, and I think because of the different life experiences that I've had, the different hardships that I've had, the different things that I've had to overcome, which, you know, if you look at my social media highlight reel, right, you know, you're not going to see you're going to see the filtered version. I'm not doing journal entries, and I'm not giving therapy sessions. I'm not divulging therapy sessions online. I don't think that's appropriate. And it's also, you know, my journey is what I'm learning in my journey. I don't want other people's energy and thoughts on. I want my team of people who I really believe in, and as I'm figuring out what it is that I'm working on, what goals I'm working on, what things that I'm working through. And I think that you know, I think that the people in my industry that are really the best at what they do are humble. The people who are the best at what they do are secure. And it's very difficult to be secure in an industry that is consistently inconsistent. It's very difficult to have a strong sense of self when all you're doing is pretending to be someone else or playing in worlds that are not reality. But what I found is that most artists, whether they're super successful or not, but most artists at heart want to add value. They want to portray characters or stories that move people. They want to, that make people feel empathy or compassion or laughter, to feel good, to go on an adventure and to escape, because, you know, we all have trying things in our lives, and we also, you know, how we relate to each other can sometimes be influenced by art. And so I think that keeping my why this is important to me at the forefront is probably why I'm more relatable. And I also, I think because where I come from, being from the Midwest, and I have strong family values, mm-hmm. and I come from a good family, that, you know, I don't believe in viewing myself any more or less than someone else, because I don't know what God-given gifts those people have. So who am I to judge? Right. And, and what's their journey? So I think that, you know, we put people on pedestals in our country that don't always necessarily need to be on pedestals. And then there are other people who are real heroes day in and day out, whether it's seen or unseen, oftentimes unseen things that don't need the limelight, don't need the attention. And yet they're the ones who really should be, in my opinion, role models. And so I'm hoping that with the Me Too movement, with the, you know, just with all the shifts that are happening in our country, and we're seeing kind of polar opposites of all of it, whether it be like Instagram, influencers, where you're like, well, how are they influencing, and should they be influencing? And is that something that should be a role model? And should my child be replicating what's closer to Maxim or porn in order to be enough? And is that the message? I think we're having a lot of big conversations, which is, I think, actually a good thing to say, like, or should we be focusing, like what the National Women's History Museum does, and I'm a chair ambassador for it, you know, where it's focusing on women of the past who've really added value, and or people of the future, and how, you know, what are we putting our attention on? And I think it's just easy to put our attention on people that are, that are very distracting shocking and titillating. And there's a place for all of that, I think, but to what extent do we give that our attention? So I think, you know, staying very grounded and having the many beautiful life lessons and hurdles have helped me not get full of myself.
Yeah, well, I know, I agree. And I think I love what you said, because I think this will be a great tool and show for people when they're feeling ungrounded or lost. They can always listen to your words and feel more grounded and centered, because you do get lost in creative industries, thinking that you're not good enough, you haven't done enough, no one's seeing it, no one's reading it, hearing it, watching it, whatever it is. And then you make a great point, like somebody will do something that's just completely obnoxious, like on YouTube, and it'll get like 53 million trillion hits. And you're like, wow, that's all I had to do was do that. And, you know, and it's, I think people really have to remember that a lot is done so that you click on it, comment on it, and the advertising dollars go up.
Right. Well, yeah, and, you know, so. I've worked with like a marketing coach on this, like social media coaches and things like that, just to kind of just, you know, you have to learn. I mean, it's not innately, you know, you learn how to act, and you're like, okay, great, I got that down, you know, hopefully, or I'm figuring that out along the way. But then there are so many different elements to the business. And part of the element is, that's necessary, is how do you put yourself out there on a platform? How do you do press? How do you do all these things? I've fallen flat on my face and said things that I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. You know, so you have to know how to craft yourself in a way that's appropriate. And I remember, you know, having to have a real conversation with this woman who, you know, who I really respect, and she does her organization or her brand is called She Brand. And we chatted, and I wasn't willing to be putting bikini photos up all the time.
No,
or
me,
bouncing
yeah.
around talking, and that wasn't
authentic. That's not who I am either.
To me, and not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but it wasn't authentic to me and what I felt my greater purpose is and the longevity of what I want my legacy to be. And so we had to have a conversation, and she said, well, your platform is going to be more slow growing. And, you know, it is frustrating. It is frustrating that it's now there are certain people that are getting more opportunities because they're just putting out what's flashy. And so, you know, I have to remember, you know, and I think we all get to remember what is authentic to me, what is important to me, what are my values, and not a judgment on other people's necessarily, but like what is right for me, and to keep focused on my path, to stay in my lane and not to get sidetracked by all the noise. Because there's just, I was talking to a friend of mine about this. I said, never has it been more easy and available to have tools and wisdom and, you know, online mentors and coaches and all of these resources, all of these podcasts, all of these resources. And yet it has never been more difficult to stay focused on what you want with all of the noise
yeah.
and all of the distractions and all of the vices that are now normalized. It's never been, it's like, so it's a constant, choice. And, you know, I veer off track all the time. I'm like, ah, dang it. Sitting there, you know, on social media too freaking long,
yesterday.
And I'm comparing myself, and look at how
you
great
what
their
I did last
life
night.
Is. Yeah,
my friend
their
goes.
Life is.
Yeah. My friend goes. Look at this. Look at this app, Elizabeth. I'm like, okay. And she goes, it turns you into a model and puts you on a magazine cover. So at about midnight last night, I was just fascinated by the amount of makeup this app put on me. It's hysterical. I Facebooked it. I'm like, well, you know, I Facebooked it, and I joked. I'm like, well, we can check that off the list. I'm on a magazine cover. It was hysterical,
yeah.
But it made the three of us girls here who are friends here in Maine went put ourselves through this app, and then it was so funny. I got the makeup, one got the airbrush, and the other one got the like eyelashes, and it was just absolutely the funniest thing because we're all 50 and it was funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, hilarious. But anyway, one of the things that, and that goes to my next point, which is trust. I think that's what I have a motto called build a network of trust. So it's not showy, it's not flashy, it's not this or that, but you know that when you click on anything that has me related to it, you know you can trust it. It's not going to put you into click loops or sell you something or do anything obnoxious or offensive or anything. And I just think that's so important. So kind of maybe that goes with what you're saying as far as, you know, the unflashy. We have somebody who...
Being of integrity.
Integrity, trust, character,
being of
all
integrity,
those things.
Being of,
yeah.
It's really important to me. I really try to align my words and my actions. And like any human, I mess up, but I really try to stay on path with that. And, you know, I think that, like you said, that's probably why you're like, oh, you're so relatable. I'm like, well, I try to be of integrity.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not trying to be something different than what I am. I can go get paid a lot of money to go pretend to be other people, and that's fun, and you know, there's an adventure and all of that, but that's not who I am.
Yeah.
So.
No, I completely get it. Okay, so somebody wrote us a lengthy note in, and they begged me to read it on air, and I'm like, yes, Chuck Daly, I will read this on air. He says, hi, Elizabeth. Hi, Brianna. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to thank you both for all the wonderful good you have done, are doing, and I'm sure you will do. I believe you're always positively percolating and manifesting messages are resonating with open and like-minded people and creating countless life-improving ripples. You are both compassionate givers and a champion, and champion those who desire to rise above their hardships, whatever they may be, and I love that mindset. So here's my question, and I ask this from the viewpoint of a hopeful centrist, which is what I consider myself and strive to be. How can our communities in the world substantively, I can't even say that wrong, be transformed into a better, kinder, more peaceful, loving place when it appears so many more people, in my opinion, and please let me know if you disagree, remain happily entrenched in a I'm 100% correct about everything mindset? people who passionately care about the subset of heartwarming things they care about, but yet consistently fail to listen with the same focus and passion about issues and people they consistently don't care as passionately about. Ooh, that's complicated. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I actually do have a lot of thoughts on that. So there's a couple things. One, I think it's really important to listen to learn versus listening to you get to speak up and be right. And it's the irony is I'm sitting here like talking. This is what I think. Blah, 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 blah. But
okay.
I think that, but that is the format of what this is, right?
Yes.
I think that, you know, I think that listening to learn is really important. I think coming from a place of empathy and understanding is really important. I think that creating safe spaces where people can have differing point of views, but the intention is to come together and to understand. Like, I get very frustrated when there's a real big issue, like right now, everything that's happening with the whole gun situation.
Guns, yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of distractions around, well, I'm right about this, or this isn't right, or this is, you know, and I just want to say, let's have the grown-ups talk and figure out what we can do to create solutions. And anything that's not solution-oriented is a waste of time. So let's come up with solutions. Let's try things. Let's tweak. Let's hear different points of view. Let's, you know, explain to me. You know, I've had gun owners and former military talk to me about, like, well, this is what I believe and why. And it's like, oh, okay, I haven't thought about that. That makes sense to me. Or, you know, I have a change maker meetup that I started at the end of last year for this exact purpose. How do we bring people together, get out of victimhood, get out of being right, get out of all of our opinions and put into action positive change? How can we help create more positive change? Because I do think the majority of people in our country really are more in the middle spectrum, and yet we're being forced to choose black or white. And I think that there are tons of shades of gray. And so if we can say that there's tons of shades of gray, or just because I may lean more liberal doesn't mean I agree with every single thing or that I'm 100% one thing or the other. And the exact same thing with people that are on the other end of the spectrum. So I think if we can go in it from that point of view, and also from a point of view of what are our values and what do we believe, but also allowing other people to have their values and what they believe. And if we come into it from a point of trying to, again, listen and understand, we'll have more compassion and our minds, we may grow and change. And I think it's a weird thing that when we get to a certain age, we're like, well, I'm right and I'm not willing to change and this is just how it is. And yet in life, everything's constantly growing and changing. That is the only thing that is consistent, is change. So that's what I have at least tried to embody. And there are certain things where, you know, I've thought, you know, I feel very strongly about this. And then I hear certain information or facts or different people's life experience. And I say, okay, I get that. That makes sense to me. I understand that. And then suddenly I'm softer on that, you know, on that point of view. But it's like, but what if we all came together and said, here's my point of view, here's my point of view, here's my experience. And we're coming from with the intention to help fix it. You know, I think that's the difference between people who are often leaders and people who just sit back and criticize. You know, it's so easy to be a critic.
Yeah, we had a really good leadership.
To be a critic.
Critic. Yeah, it is so easy to be a critic. And that's kind of all the formats out there too, where you can just critique everything and there's no, you know, there's, I don't know, you just can. Your voice gets heard, but I'm not sure it's getting heard real for real. We had a great leadership call yesterday with Jamie Beckler, and I like to interject sports a lot into things because, you know, I'm a mom of four boys and all that, and all of them played sports. And so a lot of my thinking behind Best Ever You is like sports and athletics and mindset and integrity and character and discipline and all this stuff. But my point in saying that is you brought up the word leadership, and leadership is just, oh my gosh, leadership is so interesting to me. Because of something you just said also when you said listen to learn. I love it when people listen to learn. And not listen to just be heard, because so much, like what you just said, so much more can be done. I wish we could train more and more people to respect, like you're saying, all the different viewpoints and all the different things, because when people bring up other viewpoints, you just said it like, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. I love that whole approach to things. I wish we would do way more of that rather than all the bashing and fighting. But I don't know. I don't know how to implement that. Do you? Do you just start doing it?
I think that creating, community organization, community organizing, I said, what can I do to add value? I'm going to bring people together. We're going to focus on what's working. We're going to focus on positive things. Yes, we all have strong opinions about a lot of it. We could write essays and dissertations about it, but that's not going to solve the problem. So, and it's just preaching to the choir. And it is easy to critique. It is hard to lead. Anyone that's the CEO of a business knows that it's hard to make, you don't always see everything beyond your periphery. And what you need is people who are solution oriented to say, hey, I noticed this isn't working. Maybe we could, this isn't working. And if they're really of value, they could say, maybe we could try this, this, or this. If we came about it from a yes and improv point of view, we would get so much more done. But instead, we often, come about it from a point of view like, well, nothing's going to work. Nothing works. I'm right. You're wrong. You're bad. I'm good. And it's just this polarizing point of view that keeps people in victimhood instead of in the space of being creative and creating something that's maybe not, that doesn't exist at this moment. Solutions don't always exist in that moment. Or we have to go outside ourselves and ask and be vulnerable and say, I don't know the answers for this, but I know this is a strength of yours, or I see that this business is doing well, or I see that this is run well. What can we do? I mean, why are we not having all the world leaders coming together and talking about the systems that are really working and why? And why aren't we just borrowing these systems from each other? There are things that, to me, I'm like, we overcomplicate things and we really should simplify things. And I feel like we are all more alike than we are different.
Wouldn't it? I have a so naive, and sometimes I laugh at myself, pageant view of the world, like world peace for real. And I crack myself up sometimes because I always think, wouldn't it just be so much easier to just have fluid everything worldwide, where I don't care what religion you are, what gender you are, what race you are, what anything you are. And you get to see, I would love to see so many different things, but fear pops up so much because, I just don't know anything about it. I just think it'd be so cool to be able to move throughout the world peacefully and without fear.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, and I also think that No, but I think we're fed a lot of fear, and I think fear is a way to control the masses.
Yeah.
So, like back in Roman days, when you go to Rome and you go to the Colosseum, you find out, like, really the whole point of the Colosseum and all those games and all that carnage and all of that, stuff was just to keep the masses at bay. It was a distraction so that the people in power could keep doing what they wanted to do and no one would rise up. So we have a lot of we have a lot of distractions, and fear is an easy way to paralyze people. When we're fearful, we're paralyzed and we don't take action. And I'm not saying we need to have an uprising to the government or anything like that, but we don't always we don't always fulfill our heart's desire. We don't always write that book, or we don't always, try and take that class that may inspire us.
Go to that place.
Like I said, yeah, it's easy, and it's easy for other people's fear to stop us if we allow it, because of their criticism, because of their fear, because of whatever place they're coming from. I've had a lot of people in my organization say to me, especially if they've taken a break and then they come back and say, gosh, I was out on set and I forgot not all women are supportive of each other. And I'm like, no, that is not the dynamic of this industry.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
And that is the whole point. And the same with men, or it's like, well, I need to be stoic and strong. It's like, well, not that's not the way that the world works for the most part, but it could be, and it can be. And if you just lead by example, more and more of that will become normalized.
Yeah. Gee, I always, you want my other part of my naive thinking? I always wish there was like a group of leaders, every leader from every country and whatever that got together and put together like a world like code. We aren't going to do these 10 things. We're never going to do this, and this. And just the world sort of decides collectively that that's the way it's going to be. Wouldn't that be kind of nice? It'd be so much easier. Or maybe,
yeah.
maybe not. I don't know.
Right. Well, but you know, we have to address greed. We have to address people that are, you know, dysfunctional, the sociopaths, and that don't have empathy. You know, being a leader is being a good person who decides to step into leadership is really hard because you're going to make mistakes and people are going to be extremely critical. I mean, I have friends who are in, you know, leadership positions in their world, you know, in their industry. And it blows my mind how nasty so many people can be, especially online. I mean, the things that I've seen written I'm shocked because I know if I sat across from this person, you know, I would say, are these your values? Is this how you speak to your mother? Is this how you speak in church? Is because you claim to be this thing and yet you're literally taking time
opposite.
To lash out and say the nastiest things. And
it's interesting.
It's like, what happened to the golden rule? What happened to being, you know, to being a good person? And I think that we have I think the problem is we need to get off social media more. It's addictive. There's more and more studies coming out about that, you know, or limit it, you know, and not have these arguments that go nowhere just to be right. And instead take that, all of that beautiful energy. And I'm not saying put your head in the sand. Take all that beautiful energy and focus that on the things that will actually create change. Focus that within your own life. You know, it's so easy to like look at everyone else around you in your world and say, well, they're doing this wrong and they should do this and that they should do this. Well, parts of your life are on fire. It's like, okay, well, what about what's not working for you? Why don't you look at that instead of getting distracted, pointing out everybody else's stuff? Why don't you become the best version of yourself and work on that and help support other people? You know, and I think that those are the values that most of us were raised with. And if we get honest with ourselves and still with ourselves and say, that's what I want. That's who I am. Like, I don't need to be a bully and nasty and say things that are inappropriate for no reason, you know, because I'm mad about something else.
I experienced that throughout my life. I've totally experienced varying degrees of bullying in person, online, whatever, you know, mostly in like respect to, you know, like if I have like a high achieving goal or something like that, people will be like, yeah, you can't do that. Blah, 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 blah. But like when I was Mrs. Maine many moons ago, like in 2006, there was a whole online board dedicated to how fat my thighs were. I mean, everybody, I mean, there were thousands of comments about my thighs. I'm like, seriously? That's what you guys are worried about? Or my thighs, huh? And they're like, eat more cookies, make more cookies. Just like, so, you know, even just that, you just take something as silly as that. And you just think, wow, that happened to me. And you think, wow, what's really going on in the world? You know, because
it's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of people that are very sad. There are a lot of people that are very hurt. We're all sad. We're all hurt. We all have our trauma. We all have our burdens, that whether people know about it or not. But it's, what do we do with that pain? What do we do with that pain? Yeah. Do we choose to stew in it? Do we choose to lash out at other people and react? We've all done it, have road rage, right? We've all done it. But do we catch ourselves and say, you know what, that's not that person's fault, or they might be having a bad day, or I don't need to teach them a lesson right now. I mean, sometimes you need to speak up and teach lessons and have boundaries. I'm all for that. But to what degree and in what way is constructive? And, you know, I would assume that most of those people who are writing about your size are – you know, have their own body dysmorphia and their own eating disorders and their own sadness. And if someone made a comment like that to their child, you know, or to them, they would be horrified. And yet they're not even being self-aware enough to see how they're literally contributing to the problem. And so when we take responsibility for our actions and atone for them and feel guilt and, you know, and then shift, you know, instead of having to be right, that's where growth happens. That's where these things happen. That's where self-awareness happens. And, you know, I think that we get to hold a mirror to one another, and we get to, haters can hate, but that's just that's them having their own glass ceiling of their own and stewing in their own limitations. But, you know, I'm a big believer in, like I said, leading by example, because, you know, as Marianne Williamson, who's one of my favorite authors and speakers, she says, you know, we're not afraid of greatness, or we're not afraid of failure. We're afraid of our greatness. And she has a beautiful quote that I love that's on our New Hollywood website, and it's actually in the beginning of my book. And I just really believe that, like, when we shine our light, we allow other people to recognize that they can shine too. And that is the most powerful. And other people that aren't ready to do that, that's okay. That's their journey. But eventually, hopefully, they'll get out of their own way, you know, and learn from the whatever circumstances are in their life, and be able to do the things that they really want to do, instead of hating on other people who are doing it.
Yeah, I know for me, that was a big inception point for Best Ever You at that moment, being 36 years old and having a whole, you know, forum written about my thighs. And, you know, it was really interesting too, because I'm like 5'3", and at that moment I was like 100 and maybe 25 pounds tops. I'm like, wow, really? I don't know what less I could eat to solve this problem. So I just decided, you know what? I am going to help people be their best, because, you know, that wasn't the only reason why, but, you know, it calculated into the whole business plan of Best Ever You to really help women get along and really foster a love of each other rather than a hatred of each other, where you build people up rather than completely destroy everything about them. And that's sort of a lot of what Best Ever You is. You know, it's not about how you look or how tall you are or thin you are. It's about how you are. I mean, really, how are you? And when you ask somebody, how are you today? When I ask somebody that, I really sit and wait for the answer. I don't like, I'm fine. I'm like, no, really, how are you? If you're great, tell me. But if you're not so great, tell me too. Like vulnerability and things like that. And that's really what Best Ever You, the whole space exists at, from building that network of trust where, and just surrounding yourself with love, teaching people to really surround themselves with love. Like you have, I mean, the New Hollywood is just amazing. Look at that. I remember when you got your 501c3. I think I wrote like a recommendation.
Yeah, you helped write a letter. Recommendation letter.
What's New Hollywood doing these days? It's so cool.
Oh, if you sign our pledge on our website, you go to our website and sign our pledge, you'll get a quarterly newsletter. I don't like to bombard people. it's just, you know, it's always some sort of inspiring information, the different initiatives that we have going. Like upcoming, we have our mentorship event, which will be in late spring. We have our Kindness in Action Challenge, where there's a fun prize. In the fall, we have our Get My Body Back program, which is a really cool 90-day challenge and it's not even just body, it's health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And we have our holiday party where there's a give back aspect, and, you know, we do a lot internally for our members, but those are some of the various things that we have for non-members as well by signing our pledge.
I was just going to ask, cause we're running out of time. You know, I realized I scheduled this for an hour, and that's why the chimes aren't going off saying you're going over. So I got to be really mindful of your time. I do that all the time with guests. We get to chatting and all that stuff. So let me know if you have 5-10 more minutes, maybe. Is that okay?
Yeah, I have 10 more minutes.
Right.
All good.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to say something to go back to what you said about like the, the cookies and the thighs and all of that nonsense.
Yeah.
It's such nonsense. It's just so sad because you wouldn't write those things unless you're really hurting, right? And so having compassion for that. But at the end of the day, nobody writes on their tombstone was really thin and had, you know, thin thighs.
Except for me, I'm going to do that now.
No, you're not.
Magically, I'm
not.
I was magically thin.
That's not what matters.
No.
Yeah, and you're like 90. You're like,
awesome.
Oh, I did nothing with my life, and I didn't eat any cookies, but at least I had thin thighs. No one would care. So, and then people in other countries would be like, are you insane? You're like, you're not starving to death. Like, that's what you're
So funny.
Yeah, so I think that, like you said, it is about creating a community, a like-minded community, and keeping ourselves on point with what is important to us, you know, and what is our ego, and what is our higher self, what is it that we know to be true, to be a good person. And it's just so easy to get off track. It's so easy to get distracted. And, you know, a simple tip that I think that has helped me, and it's you know, it's not like it's a new thing, but I think that having a really solid morning routine is the best thing you can do for yourself. Taking a few moments to set your intentions and say what you're grateful for, or to take, you know, 15, 20 minutes to meditate, to get your brain, you know, your brain and your body focused on what you want, instead of jumping on our phones and getting into all that nonsense, or, you know, just being really intentional, at least starting the day that way. And you know, the biggest way to alleviate anxiety is gratitude. And the opposite of fear is faith. So when we make a point of habitualizing these seemingly small actions, and for a long time I thought, it's nonsense. But when I started habitualizing them, my days were different. How I responded to things were different. I wouldn't get as hooked in when people would say or do things that were dysfunctional. It's kind of like, let it wash off my back. Like, oh, okay, well, that's what they're dealing with. And also, you know, I'd have the strength to speak up if someone was being disrespectful. They're like, hey, that's not okay, and you don't get to respond or act that way. So step up or step out. you know, so I think that, you know, all of these things are just beautiful opportunities to learn how to grow and be better versions of ourselves. Best ever you.
So let's go back to your book for a little bit here, because this is cool. What if someone's going to buy your book, what can they expect? Like, you know, what's in it? Give us some just like details of something. So somebody would want to go to your shop button and click buy.
And buy it. Yeah. Okay. So how it's broken down is pretty simple. I go into, you know, who the heck I am and why do I get to behalf of this. So there's like a couple pages about that. It's, you know, nice and condensed to show that my life experiences equal the knowledge that I'm about to share and why I feel like these systems work. I also give a lot of credit to people who I've learned things from, because I think that that's very important. And so just to kind of reference things, and also if people want to explore other tools along the way in their journey, because I think that's important to continue to have a lot of different teachers and tools. Then it goes into, you know, how to create goals and break them down in a way that's really simple. And there's some exercises that are used to help you get in touch with your subconscious so that you're really clear on what you want. Because a lot of times we say like, oh, I want this, but our actions and our words really don't align. So, and I see that a lot. I see a lot of artists, you know, they want one thing, but then their behavior is another. I'm like, do you not see that how you spend your time and your money literally does not equate the thing that you say is a priority to you? So if you want to manifest more of that, then you've got to make sure that you're aligning things properly and not just like, you know, be hopeful and wish on a star. So break it down into tangible things. There's some exercises in the beginning. I recommend that the first 50 pages, you take some time and just barrel through it, have a glass of wine, have some tea, put on soft music, do it with a friend, and you get really clear of what you really, really want. and then how to break it down into goals for the year, and then how to break it down for goals for the quarter, and then how to break it down so that each month you're taking consistent action toward what you say you want. And I'm a big believer in not just having professional goals, but personal goals, having goals that fill you up, and then also really being conscious of what habits you want to create continue to have. And so all of that's broken down in a really simple way. And then the system kind of repeats itself each month. So you're holding yourself
awesome.
Accountable. There's some prompts at each month so that you're really, so you stay focused on, oh yeah, that is working. Okay. Because we don't often see like the wins. We don't see the journey of the wins, and we're such an instant, we want everything instant. So it's like, well, I haven't increased my earnings 50% yet. Like, well, no kidding. That's going to take a while. That's a process. That's an ultra marathon. Maybe it'll happen quickly, but usually these things, you would say percolate. So I think that, taking the time to be consistent, taking the time to see, oh, things are working, life is moving forward, or, oh, that setback isn't actually a setback, it's a lesson, and what can I learn from that, and how can I course correct, or that life is giving me an F in this area, or a C, and maybe I need to, reevaluate my actions or refocus, because I'm a big believer that there has to be fluidity within the rigidity. So a lot of goal systems, there's a lot of things that work. But what I have found is that most people, depending on your personality, it's either it's too difficult to get started, so you just don't do anything, or you just keep doing what you've always done, or you're extreme. And it's really easy to be extreme for a while and then fall off because it's not maintainable. So Beth and I have helped kind of create is just a system to keep you on track, because we can't always be sprinting, and we can't always be resting. So
funny.
Tiny forward action, and know when you're like, and again, to go back to your sports analogy, I was a soccer player and I'm a runner, is, there are times when you're doing a marathon, and I've done a marathon, where this is my steady pace. This pace I can do forever, or it feels like it. And then this is the pace where it's, ooh, that's harder. And, all right, this period of time I have the energy to go harder. And there are times where you're at the finish line and it's time to sprint and really focus. But there are also times when afterwards you have to rest and you have to celebrate. Right? Because it's so easy to like accomplish things and then be like, next. You don't celebrate the wins and all the hard work, and then you're not filled up again. So this system just helps be a gentle, if you use it consistently. The people that use it consistently have told me how it's really changed their life, how it's really added value. And like anything, how you do one thing's how you do anything. So, but by committing to yourself, it's not like, it's taking the time to commit to yourself and what you really want. And, you'll create what it is that you're manifesting your mission, and those things change and shift and evolve. And it's so, I'm really happy with it. And I've been really loving the feedback, and, it's been cool. It's been cool just like a couple months in, having people that I've either, gifted the book to, or they're part of the organization that are newer, or have purchased the book, writing me and saying, oh my God, I did it and I'm doing it. And I've noticed such like things happen in my life. So many great things happen in my life. And I'm like, yeah, it's just sometimes we just have to change the lens of how we choose to view what's going on.
Love it. Yeah. Is it a book that you can write in?
Yeah.
Or do you?
It has a journal-y aspect, and yeah.
Cool.
Calendar.
All right. Well,
all that stuff.
I am so excited for you. And before we go, what's one goal you have? Because I'm huge into goals. I mean, I think everybody knows that about me. I talk about goals all the time, and I talk about talking about your goals with other people so that they come true in case somebody's listening and you need help. I love that. Like, so what's a goal you have? Do you mind sharing one?
My bigger goal this year is family. So I got married last year, and we're focused on having a family this year. So that's my big goal, the big next chapter. The big
baby.
Game changer, as I've been told.
my little sister's pregnant right now with her second baby, and I'm so excited. And it's a girl. It's a girl.
That's
so she's gonna.
When's she
due? Got a boy. She's due in July, and
nice.
So she's got a baby boy, Scott, who's a little over a year, and then she'll have this little munchkin, and I'm so excited. And it's so funny because we're in a little group chat with my mom and my sister Alex, and she's like, the baby Scott won't go to bed at night, and he sleeps between us, and so they're sleep training, and I'm rolling. I'm sorry, Alex, if you're listening. I'm in my I'm rolling because, you know, my kids are 16, 18, 20, and 22. And I'm like, I told you not to put them in your bed. I literally, the texts are so funny. And I feel for her though, you know, because they're trying to get ready for the second baby and put him in his own bed. And oh, what a process that is. That and potty training. I can't wait for those.
Oh my God. So many things to learn.
Well, you know, it's clear. It's much more clear when you're 48, you know, you look back and you go, okay, yep, I've got four kids and all that good stuff. So it's a whole parenting blog in itself. But of course, when I was in it, you know, if I had a way to text my mom, she would have been rolling too, you know, but
exactly.
My mom was always there. Oh, so funny. But anyway, so, oh, good luck with that. I'm really excited for you. Babies
Thank
are awesome.
You.
May
Thank
you. Have
you. Yeah.
Twins. That's
oh,
what you
no,
need.
I don't want twins. I mean, if that happens, then there you go. But that's
awesome.
Not.
Totally kidding.
That's a lot.
Oh, gosh. I just put that out in the universe, didn't I? All right. So anyway,
yeah.
All right. Well, I love talking to you, and I love your article that you wrote on Best Ever You. I'll put that with the radio show. Make sure people see that again. I'm really grateful for you always. And I just appreciate you being here, and I hope you come back again in, you know, a couple months or something like that and give us a little update and talk about more goals and whatever else you want to do. And I'm very excited for Beth to be on the show. I think we decided on a date last night. I'm not sure if I have it written on my calendar. Nope, I don't. I think it's April 26th. I think Beth is going to be on April 26th, Beth Navarro. So,
Awesome. Yeah. And then to buy the book, it's, you just go to my website, Brianna, Brianna-brown.com/shop. So that's how you get it.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure and put all those links. And there's so much news and information. And I didn't get through your whole biography on the show today, but there's a really nice, if you click biography also on Brianna's website, there's all so much information about her and all the awards she's won and shows she's been in and all sorts of stuff that we didn't talk about today due to the time that I've gone over. All right. Lots of love, Brianna. Like I said, we could talk for days.
It's like my motto. I'm like, I do a lot and I care a lot.
Yes, so. You do. Yep, you do. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Best Ever You show. We're so thankful that you're with us. And thank you to Brianna Brown, actress and author Brianna Brown, who's the author of Manifesting Your Mission. You can go to her website and just click shop. I'll put her website link up on here, too. So that'll be easy. And we'll put that in our community and everything. And it's one thing I love. I was saying this yesterday about Best Ever You and all of our followers in our community. I love how you engage our guests. That means so much to me. I can't even articulate it. But when we have a guest on here, we've had over 400 now, 420 something now. When we bring a guest on here, we really mean that they've got great information for you to help your life be your best. And it's a tool, it's a trick, it's a tip, it's a quote, whatever it is, a video. We bring people on here who've got something that will help you be your best and live your best life. And I'm just love that about Brianna. So I'm glad she was able to spend the hour with us when she was only supposed to be here for half an hour. And I hope you'll get behind her and really help her spread her message, which continues to be rise higher, shine brighter, and give back. And that's just all she represents. And also don't forget to go to thenewhollywood.org because there's great information there too. Thank you. Thank you, Brianna. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for listening and sharing the Best Ever You show, which is now syndicated also on iHeartRadio. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher FM. There's a whole bunch of places it goes, but the new one is iHeartRadio. So we hope you visit us and on besteveryou.com. Take care and have a wonderful day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Best Ever You show. Want more? Visit us at besteveryou.com. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You.